Well, I hope I haven't been singing with that on. Oh dear. Let's go ahead and start today with prayer. Father, we thank you for this time of worship where we can open our hearts to you, where we can see what you have done for us, where we can express our thankfulness, our gratefulness, our gratitude for your being in our lives. We ask now that you continue to be with us, to open our hearts, to open our eyes, that we might see you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today's verses come from Psalm 100. We've already read that once. If you'd like, it's in the Pew Bible, page 427. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I've highlighted the seven imperatives in this five-verse psalm. Seven times the psalmist is telling us to do something. Now, if you were paying attention to that, it might be a little annoying. I mean, if you're in a conversation with someone and they tell you seven times to do it, it's probably your mother and you were a teenager. But here, instead of it feeling rather bossy, it feels like a celebration. It's an outpouring of the experience of the psalmist. It is their way of explaining, describing how they've experienced God's love and care and how that has affected them. In worship and our spiritual lives, the imperative of thankfulness is more an expression of our outflowing gratitude to God rather than a forced, "I will be thankful" command. Let's walk through these verses together. Shout, as the New International Version translates the Hebrew word, is probably better than the King James Version, make a joyful noise. It has more of the idea of huzzah as the king enters the throne room, or the cheers that we give to our sports team as they enter the field or the court. It expresses the idea of anticipation and awe. All the earth probably meant the people of Israel at that time, but we know from the New Testament that this spreads to the entire world. Everyone should acknowledge God. In the Hebraic poetry style, the author then repeats his idea with similar lines and different words, but meaning the same kind of thing. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. At this point, I should point out that my singing is more King James joyful noise, and that's why I like that inaccurate translation better than the one that we're reading. The two phrases here give the context of communal worship to the psalm. As a group, we enter the room to worship. We should have an anticipation of the meeting with the faithfulness and loving God. We should feel the group in the presence of God. This shared experience brings excitement to worship. The psalmist then moves on, and the next imperative is know. This is the Hebrew word that Don has talked about before. It means to know experientially, to know personally. It's more than just head knowledge of a fact. I may know the steps to baking a loaf of bread, but this know is the experience of measuring, mixing, kneading, rising, shaping, baking, slicing and eating bread. After this description, can you smell the loaf? That's what it means to know. As a matter of fact, this word "know" is often or is sometimes used for sexual intimacy in the Old Testament. The psalmist is expressing that personal experience of God we have in communal worship. He interrupts the imperatives at this point to point out that knowing God is because God knows us. In poetic fashion, he goes and repeats himself. He made us. He does know us. He has chosen us. He, as a shepherd knows his sheep, knows each one of us. This metaphor of God as shepherd is found throughout the Old and New Testament. It conveys the idea that God is looking out for us, protecting us, giving us what we need. Just to take the first few verses of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the bright paths for his name's sake. Now, Psalm 100 returns back to the city and the king's court. Enter his gates, his courts, with thanksgiving and praise. Enter, give thanks, praise. These imperatives try to enrich the idea of what it means to know God, the results of knowing God. We want God in our lives, and God is in our lives. We give thanks to God for his being in our lives. We praise God for him being in our congregation and in our individual lives, for the things that he has done. How much bleaker would your life be if you had not encountered and come to know God's presence? In Nigeria, there is a profession of being a praise singer. This is a man hired by a man of means, a Baban Mutum, a big man, to sing his praises, the praises of the man who hired him, or a group of them to sing his praises. They are to go around and follow him around as he goes through the marketplace and goes to the mosque, and to extol the many things he has done, and the great generosity he has shown, and to express the thankfulness of the people for this Baban Mutum, this big man. As a matter of fact, if you watch Nigerian TV, and we did very little of it, instead of commercials, people would pay for praise singers to sing their praises for the time where commercials were. Well, we are called to do that for God. We are called to be God's praise singers, not because he has hired us, but because of our gratitude and our experience of his care for us. Now, this psalm is unusual for a song of thanksgiving, because usually they start with the reasons why we should be thankful. And this psalm ends with the reason why we should be thankful. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. If you have known God, then you know God's goodness. You know God's love. You know God's faithfulness. You also will know that God loves you, that God's love for you is unfailing, perfect, and enduring. How does this experience not result in your wanting to praise God's faithfulness, to thank God for his care and his goodness? It is such a constant in our lives with Christ that God loves us so much that he gave his only son for us. What holds us back from giving our thanks and our praise? Sometimes it might be our own self-consciousness. Maybe it's our worry about what our fellow worshipers might think of us. Maybe it's sometimes we forget about what God has been doing for us. But this psalm calls us back to be aware of who God is, what God has done for us. How can we stop giving thanks? As Robert Lowry in his hymn put it, I lift my eyes, the clouds grow thin, I see the blue above, and day by day this pathway smooths, since first I learned to love it. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain every spring. All things are mine since I am his. How can I keep from singing? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18, perhaps the shortest three verses in all of the New Testament, Paul gives us a list of imperatives as well, similar to the ones that we got today from Psalm 100. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When we want to know God's will for our life, this is the starting place. Impossible as it sounds, when our attention is turned to God, we should rejoice, pray, and give thanks. In preparing this message, I came across a story about John Wesley that I had not known before. 13 years before his conversion, John Wesley had a conversation one night with a porter of his college that impressed him. It impressed Wesley that there was more to Christianity than he found. That porter had only one coat. He had not eaten food that day. And yet his heart was full of gratitude to God. Wesley said to him, "You thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie upon. What else do you thank him for?" And the porter answered, "I thank him that he's giving me my life and being and a heart to love him and a desire to serve him." Remember, Don will bring you a microphone if you wish to share. I have only one query for you today. What can you give thanks to God for today?